morning, Nick, and welcome to Arts Canvas.
Lovely to be talking to you.
And of course, we're talking to you because you've brought out what is about the third edition, is it, of Modern Australian Usage.
For nearly 15 years, it was originally published by Oxford University Press, and they lost interest in it, and Alan Unwin picked it up and running with it very effectively, it seems.
Yes, I thought I'd seen the title somewhere before.
Yes. It's all about Australian usage for writers and editors, but it's about how to stay out of trouble rather than how to get it right. There is an acute difference between the two things. Anybody who says they can tell them how to get it right is being a little bit optimistic, to my mind, but you can help people keep out of trouble.
What sort of trouble would they be likely to get into?
Well, look, I'll give you an illustration of one that I got into only 2 months ago, which isn't in the book, as it so happens, because it hadn't happened then. And that was, I was in London, and I was talking about the bit of London called Bermondsey, and I referred to it as a suburb of London. And they all sort of giggled slightly and said, "You're talking Australian." In Australian English, a suburb is a part of the city, so you can say that Collingwood is a suburb of Melbourne. In London, suburbs are only the outer suburbs. There are no such things as inner suburbs. Now, what does it matter? Because if you are writing for an international audience, it's a good idea to know which terms you have to be careful about, because they're going to be misunderstood.
So isn't that the job of basically of an editor these days, to pick those things up?
That is, the point there is that the content of a book is not what the author's put in, but what the reader can get out. So the author will always think they've got it right. But the editor can say, come along and say, on behalf of the readers, that's not quite clear. Please will you explain what you mean there a bit more? That bit is getting a bit boring because I already knew all that. That bit is lovely. That bit's getting boring and could be cut out. They are, in other words, they are both trying to make the reader happy. They should be on the same side. They're not in adversarial position, the editor and the writer, but they're both trying to get the message through to the reader. And this book is about problems in getting the message over.
So anyone who's thinking of embarking upon writing a book, or even people who are even published authors, could find use from this book, couldn't they?
I would like to believe that they could. It could be that, you see, as in the case of this question with suburb, it hadn't occurred to me that there was this difference until I made that statement, which seemed to me to be unequivocal, and it just was wrong to them. And it's very nice. I mean, it doesn't mean that you always have to speak the language of your hearers, but it's a good idea to know when you're going to be misunderstood.
Yes, because it's all about communication, and it does bring up the importance of the role of the editor too, because I've heard editors say that really they've had to work so hard, even on quite successful authors' manuscripts, in order to make them more readable and, of course, correct on all levels, as you were saying. It's kind of the unsung heroes of the literary world are the editors. So this seems like a book that's directly aimed at their skills.
Yes, it is. Indeed it is. Of course, I mean, you realise, in a sense, you're an editor now, online, in real time. If I get boring, you'll cut me off. If I make a stupid remark, you're going to correct it. And you've got to do it instantly. That is what an editor does at leisure. You have a hugely harder task.
So how do you spin this out into a whole book? Because what sort of areas do you cover?
If you've been working at this job for 60 years, which I have, you have no problem at all in finding interesting and important things to discuss. Incidentally, of course, you see, I discuss all the problems that I've come across in 65 years editing and publishing, which includes problems with, you know, copyright. How do we make sure we're not breaching somebody else's copyright? How do we make sure that our own copyright is not breached? Defamation, how do we make sure that we don't get sued for defamation, and so on. So it's got, I mean, it's not that I'm a lawyer, but I can say pretty clearly what kind of things you have to watch out for, where you'll need to talk to a lawyer, somebody who really knows his stuff. So, I mean, there are articles on those. There are bits about almost anything that could have arisen where an author was in strife or an editor was in strife. And they are legion. No problem filling the book.
I think it sounds like a fabulous resource for anybody who's interested in writing, just in a general sense or in something in particular, but also for people who want to understand a little bit more about what goes into the process of writing as well. Quite a sort of textbook in some ways.
I would like to believe that it does all those things. I think you should ask somebody who's read it whether it has worked in that way, but certainly that would be my intention. I mean, it's not really, it's not a sort of, in a sense, a desk reference book. It's a book that can be dipped into from time to time, but it also has a desk reference angle to it. You sometimes might indeed say, you know, what does Nick say about semicolons or whatever it is, you know.
Or apostrophes.
Or apostrophes, indeed.
You could go on for the whole chapter on apostrophes.
I'm very good on apostrophes.
Sounds like a terrific book. Modern Australian Usage. It's the third edition. It's by Nick Hudson, who's got years and years and years of fabulous experience in offering advice about the correct pathway to express yourself clearly in print. So thank you very much, Nick, for talking to us.
Lovely to talk to you.